Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the show. Happy Friday. Holiday weekend. Hope wherever you are listening, however you are listening, you're doing it away from your job, away from work. Enjoy a nice little four-day weekend. We're not. We got you covered. We're here. I'm here. Bill Reiter, sports writer on Twitter, sports R-E-I-T-E-R. No D-cell today. He's taking some time off to watch soccer or whatever it is he does in his spare time. But Kevin Wall's filling in at K-Wall-521. As in a 521 reasons, you're going to love Kevin filling in on the show today. As always, you can call us, 855-212-4CBS. No bogus today either. Erica Herskowitz is going to give us some headlines about 20 or 30 minutes. A lot of things to get into. I've got two deep, philosophical, difficult, generationally divisive questions for Kevin in about 20 minutes. They may or may not involve things that fly in the sky. Two separate. That's the only clue I'm going to give him. He doesn't know what's coming. We will talk about later in the show, not just Celtics Heat. That game six is tonight in Boston. Boston's chance to put down, finally, a rambunctious but banged up or underwhelming Miami Heat team. But more than that, the chance for Boston to complete one of the better turnarounds we've seen in sports in a really long time. These guys were under 500 in January. We'll dive into what they've been about. Kurt Heelan, Pro Basketball Talk, NBC Sports. We'll talk some hoops with us in an hour. Buy or sell will happen. Kevin's put together a hell of a script. I know D-Cell does it every day. I'm just saying. I looked at the script today, and I'm like, damn, this is good. Watch out, Tom. Watch out, D-Cell. You got competition from Kevin Wall. K-Wall 521. It's Friday, so we'll have Bum of the Week. I've got some really good candidates. And I'm going to bring a pretty strong level of optimism and enthusiasm and overwhelming relief today. As I told you, I made the classic sports writer, sports radio host, sports broadcaster mistake few days ago where I just booked non-refundable travel on my company's dime to San Francisco after the Warriors got up 3-0 for the finals. I thought, it's fine. It's fine. And then when the Mavs won that other game, I got a little nervous. I was celebrating last night when Golden State won. Like, you think I'm a lifelong Warriors fan. No, man, I'm just a lifelong fan of not having to explain to my boss why I'm in San Francisco for an NBA finals that would be in Miami or Dallas. But I was in watching last night the Golden State Warriors do what felt inevitable in five games rather than four and eliminate and brush aside, I'm not going to say a really great Mavs team because that's not true, a remarkable Luka Doncic and some other guys that play basketball with him. It struck me the various ways in which we should and can, I think, begin to ponder the Warriors if, it's an if, I got it, it's an if, they win an NBA championship when the finals begin 1 week today in San Francisco. And we can talk about a lot of the angles, what Kevin Durant's legacy is or isn't. I hit on this last week, I'm going to hit it harder in the next few days, but I do think there's an argument that in his time in Golden State, he was the most talented, remarkable, handsomely paid, incredible, all-time great role player we've ever seen. I'll hit that in a few days. I will. And I was going to talk about another one of the things that I think is really interesting is where does this Warriors team compare to the 73-win team that blew that 3-1 series lead against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Or the two teams that had Kevin Durant, kind of a cheat code, but still won those two titles. Or the team before the 73-win season, 2015, when the Warriors sort of emerged out of the nothingness of their history to be a dynasty. Where exactly would they rank this team if they win it all? But Kevin, again, pushing DC on that buy or sell all-time great list, already has it in there. I'm going to focus on Steph Curry. I said this to one of my bosses a couple weeks ago. I've said it to some NBA sources. I think I've talked about it a little bit on the radio. The world has opened up a little bit, right? We know that. It's easier to go to a movie, get on an airplane, if you don't feel like wearing a mask, whatever you want to do. Things are, I went to yesterday before the game, I went to Maverick, Top Gun Maverick, with my son Henry. My kid's nine. He really wanted to go. And just being in the movie theater, it made me realize how incredible it is just to be back in real life. And part of that for me has been going out and having lunch or drinks on the company dime with various NBA folks. Some assistant GM level people, some scouts, former players, those sorts of folks. And I've posed a question to them the last 3 or 4 weeks that I'm going to pose to you now. If the Warriors win an NBA championship this year, if Steph Curry, coming off his own injury issues, coming off Klay Thompson missing multiple years of basketball, post Kevin Durant leaving that team, and remember, when a guy like that leaves the team, the rebuild isn't easy. It's not an easy thing to do from a cap perspective. Do we start maybe to look at Steph Curry in a different light vis-a-vis relative to LeBron James? I know it sounds insane on the face of it. I know it sounds like I got up this morning and instead of drinking coffee, I drank a whole gallon of hot take juice or whatever those guys that scream at each other on TV take before they get going. But the reality is, and I think LeBron's amazing. I've covered LeBron James my entire life. My entire success in my career is predicated on the time that I've covered LeBron. I get it. But the goal of greatness in basketball isn't about individual escapades and awards. It's not tennis. It's not golf. It's a team sport. And you don't measure it in the number of points that you've scored over the course of your career, as Karl Malone. You don't measure it in the singular moments of greatness for one person that are so unusual. They mark you as an all-time great, but don't translate to your team having that success. See Jerry West being the only guy in the history of the sport to win a Finals MVP in a series in which they did not win an NBA championship. And it's not about being regarded as an athletic specimen who did things that changed the game or redefined the way we saw it in that era. See Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt was awesome, but Bill Russell owned him. And not just because Bill Russell had a better team, because Bill Russell, if you get back into that, you talk to the old-timers, just go back and like watch some of the old games and the clips, Wilt was a better quote-unquote player unless they played each other in games that mattered. And then Bill Russell tended to dominate that guy. LeBron's amazing. He's going to finish his career as the all-time leading scorer. He's going to do that as somebody who's a pass-first, 6'8", I don't know, 285-pound Terminator from the future. The guy's awesome. But I think it's when Steph Curry and the Warriors win an NBA championship in a couple weeks, Steph Curry is going to have 4 rings, the same number as LeBron James. But unlike LeBron James, he's never going to have left. Unlike LeBron James, he's never going to have said to himself, I mean, if I go play with, I don't know, a top five player in the game right now, and a guy that's the top free agent other than me, Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, maybe that'll do it. Steph Curry has never looked around as the Warriors got old. And by the way, this could have been a year ago or 2 years ago, you know, as the dudes around him that he won championships with started to break down and get injured and appear to be lesser versions of themselves and go under the knife for surgery. And as all the talk and all the reels of concern became, man, the Warriors were really good. Wasn't that a fun run? He didn't look around and say, where can I go that's got a young superstar and a bunch of caps? Oh, the Cleveland Cavs. I'm going to go back to this young team. Steph Curry didn't go and say, you know, I'm going to go join the Grizzlies and they can move on Ja somewhere else. And Steph Curry didn't force his way to some superstar friendly organization like the Lakers and decide to steal a top supposed 10 player in Anthony Davis and then bring in a former MVP in Russell Westbrook who's become a bum, and that is what it is. It makes me sad, but still, that was LeBron's decision. Steph Curry has grinded it out in San Francisco and in Oakland. Steph Curry is the guy who took a second-round pick in Draymond Green and a really talented player in Klay Thompson who still slid in the draft for dumb reasons and turned them into Hall of Famers. Steph Curry couldn't beat LeBron James one-on-one. I got it. Steph Curry's accolades aren't going to be as pronounced and remarkable and eye-popping as LeBron James when LeBron becomes the all-time points leader. He's not. I understand that. And several of these folks that I talked to, their first reaction over lunch and drinks, we got back out into the world. It's harder to have these conversations on the phone, I promise. Most people just hang up on you. But if you bought them an old-fashioned and they're on their second one, they'll at least give you a minute. And their reaction was aggressive. What are you talking about? And they'll never be better than LeBron. And I've asked some people on the show the last week or two. But then you start to explain, well, hey, I mean, Steph's the greatest shooter in the history of the sport in an era in which that now defines, especially three-point shooting, how basketball works. And like Tiger Woods at the Masters, they can't Steph-proof the game. So what they've done is they've just had to import a bunch of guys who shoot like Stephen Curry. I mean, there's a lot of examples I can point you to, but take Brook Lopez, who's pretty good player, right, for the Bucks. That guy shoots 5 threes per game when he's playing around 35 minutes. 5 threes per game. In his first 6 years of his career, he shot, I think it was 9 three-point shots over the course of his career. Why? Because Steph radically changed the game in a way no player ever has before. So he's had an impact on how the sport is actually played. And I don't mean, oh, we should run more zone. I mean guys who spent their whole lives believing their skill set, their size, meant they didn't have to shoot, right? I'm a big man. Those guys that wanted to survive had to learn to shoot the three-point shot, had to reteach themselves basketball because of Steph Curry. And the guys that wouldn't do that are Dwight Howard. And that's a fact. He's the greatest shooter in the history of the sport. And as Tom Haberstroh told us when he was on the show last week, and I love this, and I'm just going to keep pointing to it, and I'm going to keep saying it because it's so good, Steph Curry is, without a doubt, Shaquille O'Neal, 30 feet from the basket. I read something today by a colleague of mine at CBSSports.com, and it's always easier to criticize colleagues than it is people at, you know, other spots because, you know, we know, I know him, I like him. I'm not going to say his name, but he wrote a column. He's a Warriors fan, but it's, look at what the Warriors have done without superstars. And I just wonder if we are forgetting Steph Curry. A, the guy averaged, I think, 24, 25, 7, and 7 in the series and won the first ever Western Conference MVP. Who cares? Nobody, but he still got the trophy. But if you watch the games, and this is what Haberstroh talked about, when Steph crosses the half-court line, 80% of the time, he's doubled. Or there's a guy up on him, there's another guy waiting to. He creates so much space for his team. Every moment of excellence for the Golden State Warriors over the last 8 years, they've been in the final 6 of 8 years now. Nobody has done that since Jordan on a singular team. Now, LeBron's done it. I got it. LeBron's done it. But he had to bounce around. He had to cherry pick. Steph Curry, and I know the front office is going to get credit. Look at the rehabilitation of Andrew Wiggins, man. Look at that D'Angelo Russell trade that created the space, which is true. Look at the people they brought in. Kevon Looney's, you know, sure. All of this is Steph. All of this is Steph Curry. LeBron takes a bunch of bums when he has to and carries them to greatness on his remarkable back, on his talent-laden superhero, super talent. I got it. But they're still bums. He's carrying bums. Steph Curry takes a bunch of guys that we thought were bums and through the gravitational forces that he creates on the floor, the space that he creates, the movement that he does off the ball and the work rate that both impacts the game and inspires his teammates. If Steph's doing it, I better do it. And it's true, man, even if it's hard to see and measure when you're watching as a fan, his presence in a locker room, his ability to be an all-time great superstar and not suck the oxygen and life out of every room he walks into, it takes a bunch of bums and turns them into Hall of Famers or stars or important role players. And I'm not, look, Draymond Green's not a bum. Klay Thompson's not a bum. But I'm not convinced we wouldn't view them that way if they hadn't played for LeBron James or with LeBron James. Steph Curry is going to be a four-time NBA champion in 2 weeks. And they're going to be next year, as I think Sam Amick put it, might have been Howard Beck. They're both great. It's hard to keep it straight. We'll say Howard Amick or Sam Beck. We'll just combine them together. That next year, that they're a year ahead of schedule, and next year's Warriors team is going to be the favorite to win an NBA championship. Not easy, not possible, no guarantee they're even going to win this year. But if they win this year, the likelihood that Steph Curry passes LeBron James in the number of championships they've won in the same era, in which they've played each other becomes really, really high. And remember, we now, and the Kevin Durant thing aside, we now look at that first championship for the Warriors, right? Clay and Draymond and Andre Iguodala when he was the Finals MVP, and we say, LeBron didn't have any help, and like the other guys, the Warriors, they're better. But the Warriors were constructed out of a bunch of random parts that Steph Curry, using his magic, turned into greatness. Steph Curry might be better than LeBron James in the history of the sport. He just might be. He may not get the credit. He may not get the credit he deserves. But what he has done, this run that they're on, this return from greatness, rising from the ashes of Kevin Durant's exit, which, by the way, was always inevitable this was going to happen. We are so, as fans, quick to just go to the lowest common denominator. Well, I mean, Kevin Durant, so... By the way, Steph Curry, better player than Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's so good, I mean, you know, that's why they won, too. Kevin Durant was up 3-1 against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors in a Western Conference Finals. Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors came back and won that series. Kevin Durant looked around and said, I can't win here. He didn't go to a team that he could be the leader of. He didn't even pull LeBron James and say, all right, well, you know, this Kyrie guy's never won anything, but he's talented. I can make it work. And this Kevin Love guy is kind of a bum, but I'll try to make that work too. He didn't even pull LeBron James the first time around when he's like, all right, well, you know, I'm going to go to a culture that's won a lot, and Dwayne Wade's really good, you know, whatever version, but they haven't won in a while, and I'll get Chris Bosh to come over. Kevin Durant went to a 73-win team, attached himself to the greatness of Steph Curry. And the only way that it could work is if Steph would do the thing that is the hardest to do for someone that is among the greatest in the history of mankind or whatever you choose to do for a living. Steph subjugated his ego. I'll take fewer shots. I'll stop winning MVPs. I'll move off the ball even more. Even though we're about ball movement and open shots with me on the floor and I'm the greatest shooter of all time, we'll just let Kevin, when he needs to, spike up the ISO rate because Kevin wants to dribble 5 times and take 10 bad shots. And by the way, make like 4.5 of them. It's pretty amazing, but still. Kevin Durant needed Steph Curry's magic. Steph Curry didn't need Kevin Durant's. That's always been an open debate until now. When the Warriors win an NBA championship in a couple weeks, Steph Curry is going to put a stamp on the fact that he's better than Kevin Durant. They didn't need Kevin Durant. And that'll be fine, and we'll talk about it. But the real mark will be he's closing in on LeBron. And his ability to do what actually matters. LeBron can be Wilt. Steph's going to be Russell. LeBron can be Jerry West. Steph's going to be, I know it sounds crazy, but an interesting version of Michael Jordan. He's not Michael Jordan. But his ability to go into a place at a time and change the sport and redefine it and not leave. And in very different ways between Jordan and Steph. Use his personality to craft that organization in his image. And for that image, and they're different guys, I get it. I mean, Mike was punching Steve Kerr in the face. Steph is letting Steve Kerr actually coach him. It's a different approach. But Steph's ability to take his greatness and for it to create the first true dynasty we've seen in the NBA since Jordan, of the same parts and pieces, that is a legacy LeBron James can't match. And it's worth keeping an eye on if, when the Warriors close out, whoever they play, when the finals begin a week from today. 855-212-4CBS. Kevin Wall, who's the producer today, had a big birthday the other day. Big birthday, party, I don't know if this is part true, I didn't ask. Cake, drink, beer, whatever, party, team, I don't know what happened. But he's 26 now, young guy, different generation. And I'm going to ask about UFOs and Top Gun. That's what's going to happen. It's Friday, it's a holiday, we're going to get weird. So stay tuned for that because there are right and wrong answers, and we'll find out which one Kevin Wall has next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Writer Than You on CBS Sports Radio.
D-Cell's off. He's at the beach. He went to the shore. I like how people on the East Coast say the shore. I mean, there's a lot of shores. I'm from Iowa. There's a shore of the Mississippi River. We had a lot of ponds I used to fish at. I didn't say, like, I'm going to the shore. You know, I used to live in the Chicago suburbs. Say, I'm going to Lake Michigan, not the shore. I don't get it. Anyway, hope he's having a great time. Kevin Wall's filling in at KWall521, as in, I think, his birthday. Turned 26 the other day. Good morning, Kevin. What's up, buddy?
Nothing much, Bill. Thank you very much for the belated birthday wishes. I appreciate it.
Happy birthday. All right, so let me ask you this first, before we get into your age and whether or not there's a disconnect between us, which is fine if there is. Fine if there is. This is a simple question. Do you believe that UFO and UFOs and aliens on Earth?
No, I do not.
Are you kidding me?
I do not. It's like saying, where's Bigfoot? I got to see more proof of it.
I mean, have you watched the congressional hearings where they've discussed these flying objects? They don't know what they are?
I have, but I need to see more evidence of it being there. And to be honest, I'm not really educated on UFOs and all that.
Got it.
But
fair.
If it's there, and if I see it, I'll believe it.
As we discussed yesterday, and now my wife won't look at me the same way, not in a good way. I was walking my daughter on the beach a couple nights ago, and I saw five UFOs. Now, I'm pretty sure they were like fighter pilots, but they're just moving in a weird way. It's very strange. It's very, very strange. All right. I took my son yesterday before Warriors Mavs. Before the beatdown Golden State put on Dallas, I want to see America beat down, you know, whoever the random enemy they won't name, in Top Gun Maverick. I gotta be honest, I was not entirely into it. It was amazing. It was amazing. And I didn't know if something that had been great before and then kind of been doubted and made fun of could make a return. It happened twice in the night. First, the Warriors back to the finals. A lot of people were down the worst. And now, oh man, look at this. Have you seen this music video, by the way?
It looked really nice. It looked like a great.
Did you see that guy's hair?
Yeah. It's a nice 80s throwback. It's beautiful.
80s look. Here's my question for you. Let's do two. You're 26.
Yes.
What year were you born? I'm not good at math.
96.
Oh my God.
That's what everyone says here.
That's crazy. You're a young dude. Have you seen the original Top Gun?
You're going to kill me, but no, I haven't.
So I just want to understand so you've got these, like, classics. No, just no interest. Like, what is it about Top Gun? Like, I'm not going to watch that.
I just never watched it. I have to admit, I'm not a big movie guy. I'm more of a TV show guy. Don't get me wrong. I've seen classic movies, but Top Gun just hasn't been one of them.
But basically, look, I'm not judging you. It's the era of the TV show. It really is.
It is. And Netflix and Hulu, that's just the name of the game now.
But like, listen to the inspiration that's going on here. My son was so into Top Gun. Here's what I'm going to tell you. It is, I went in, I'm like, all right, be a little nostalgia. It won't be very good. How can you make Top Gun good 30 years later? It is one of the better movies. I can't believe I'm going to say this. My son's like, that's the best movie I've ever seen. We came out of it, I'm like, oh yeah, buddy. Then I got in the car and I'm like, man, it is one of the best movies I've ever seen.
It was that good.
Is it Citizen Kane? No. Is it The Departed? It's not. But it was, dude, it is the first actual amazing American blockbuster I've seen in a long. It's so good. So here's my question. What would I have to do to convince you? Now, you're not on the show every day, so I can't. But if you were, how would I convince you to go to this movie as a 26-year-old?
Well, movie theaters these days, they got to be a little more cheaper. Got to admit. I mean, walking into a movie theater, $20, popcorn, $12.
It is outrageous.
It's ridiculous. I can't imagine how much you spent on popcorn and drinks and movie tickets out in L.A.
They actually required a pint of blood on top of the money.
That's the world that we live in these days.
Dude, actually, so I showed up. We went to pay for the ticket. And I didn't even buy it in advance. I just went to a movie theater with my son. And my son's 9. And I, like, you know, put the screen. You're on the screen now. And my son goes, oh, my. He actually swore. I gotta work on that. He goes, oh, my bleeping goodness. $20 for that ticket.
That's insane.
But let's just say I paid for it. I'm like, Kevin, thanks for doing a great job on the show. Happy birthday. You look hungover or whatever's going on. You need a break. Would you go to Top Gun
Maverick? Absolutely. I would go. I would go. I like to try new things. I admit, I do like to try new things. Just movies for me in the last 10 years or so has never been my thing. And like I said, I've seen classic movies. Rocky's my favorite movie. So I've seen all 6 of them and, you know, the top 80s classic movies, but if you've seen
Rocky and it's your favorite movie?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm impressed
the first
by that
one. I would say Rocky 3 and 4.
You haven't seen the first one?
No, I've seen all 6 of them.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I would say 3 and 4 are my top 2 favorites.
I mean, that is a whole new level of respect I feel for you, and I already respected you. But we just went, I'm a sucker for greats, right? Actual legends. Because everybody ages, and everybody gets old in sports. And everybody goes from almost being remarkable to, like, kind of not cool anymore. There aren't many, except maybe the Beatles are an exception. Maybe they're not even an exception. I mean, by your face, they're not. I mean, it's just, I mean, I love Kanye, but Kanye's an insane person now, maybe, potentially, or at least plays on TV.
We can put that out there.
But I'm not a New England Patriots fan. I'm not. I'm the opposite of that during the Brady time. Now, I've been won over by the guy. He's way too likable and his fake hole-in-one or real one or whatever's going on. But the Patriots, when they ended their long, long, long championship drought to begin sort of the second renaissance of that organization, and I'm trying to remember, I think it was against Atlanta. I can't remember which one it was. There's too many of them. I realized, and it struck me, I am in the presence of greatness. And not just greatness, it's return. There was something really cool about it. Same for Tiger winning the Masters now 3 summers ago. We all think Tiger's amazing. Most of us love him. I do. But I finally gave up the ghost on believing Tiger Woods could ever win a major again. Didn't think it could happen. Didn't believe it. And that last one was the most special for me three summers ago before the car wreck. Because it was a return to something that I thought was gone forever. I thought it had vanished from the face of the earth. And I feel that way a little bit. It's not quite the same because of the timeline. But I'm an NBA insider. I'm kind of an NBA geek. I feel that way about the Warriors. Because the Durant thing, it's a cheat code. They're going to get it. They're going to win it. They won two. I think they would have won maybe more championships without Durant. It's my hot take of the day. Because they gave up so much depth. And now they've just barely reclaimed it. They were going to have the scoring output with Clay and Steph, even without Durant. Would have been harder. There wasn't a, all right, we're off a little bit today. Let's just give the ball to Durant, see what we can do. But this version of the Warriors, which is the non-Durant version, back to the finals, and doing it in dominating fashion, crushing opponents, crushing the Mavs, having that swagger and confidence, to me, it's that exact thing. And I felt that at the movie theater yesterday. Tom Cruise is 89 years old, right? Is he 89? I think he's actually like 60.
He's not 89. I know that.
It was weird because it's also, that movie's also about, I think the Warriors and their excellence is 100% about team basketball winning out over triumvirates, and now it's like dual threats, whatever it is. I know Steph's amazing, but I think the colleague that I've criticized without naming him, who's saying that there's no stars, doesn't understand the Warriors. They are stars. They subjugate their numbers and their shots sometimes in the service of ball movement and making other guys great. Andrew Wiggins was the number one pick out of Kansas, but he was a bum for a long time. Was a bum. Why are we celebrating him? Not just the opportunities that playing for that team affords you to take better shots and higher percentage shots. And, I mean, you attack the rim, you make a nice cut, whatever, good for you. It's a lot easier with the Warriors when there's so much gravitational attention and force toward Steph Curry. But also just the way they make a guy like Andrew Wiggins feel about himself, it is legit. And the return of that idea, that notion, team basketball, selflessness, in a real way, it's incredible. And the same for Tom Cruise. Like the Warriors are about team basketball, and this Top Gun Maverick movie, if I can stretch the analogy or the comparison, the meaning from it is it's like the summer blockbuster coming back in an era where the Kevin Walls of the world, these young kids partying on their birthday and getting crazy and tearing up New York City and, you know, whatever you do, going to the clubs, whatever it is, man. Young single people watching Netflix and Stranger Things 4 is out tonight and all this other stuff. I'm telling you, this is like a little taste, Kevin, of what your parents experienced when they went to films back in the day. Go to a movie, get some popcorn, get a soda. I don't even drink soda. I don't drink soda, but I drink it at the movies and experience the magic. You can see the Warriors return and the return of blockbuster movies with an 89-year-old Tom Cruise in the same week, if you're feeling so inclined.
It's very possible.
Did I sell you?
You did.
Are you in?
I'm in. Let's do it.
Happy birthday, Kevin. Bringing Kevin some meaning here on the show. Holiday weekends are interesting because sometimes there's like 100,000 of you listening. Often there's three. And if that's the case, love you, Mom. Love you, Dad. Thank you, baby brother Bobby. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Twitter Sports Writer Sports, REITER. Celtics Heat, Game 6 tonight in Boston. And you can't write off any team ever. We saw this from Dallas a series ago. We know being down 2 is never a death sentence. It's just not. You can come back and you can win if you're the Miami Heat. But the Celtics have a secret recipe, and it hasn't been celebrated enough. And we're going to get into Boston's absolutely remarkable weapon that they forged themselves this year.
You're listening to Writer Than You on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show. Happy Friday. Love, love, love the end of the week. Before we get into this, by the way, people say rest in peace, and they don't, you know. I mean it, though. You know, rest in peace to Ray Liotta, incredible actor, incredible performer, passed away in his sleep yesterday. Goodfellas. All right, so Kevin, have you seen Goodfellas? Are you into the mafia? Are you into mafia movies?
I've tried The Sopranos. I've tried the mafia movies, and you would think by being from New York and New Jersey, I would get into it. Not so much, though. Not so much. Like the most boring guy when it comes to films, I admit.
Please tell me that this very reasonable taste preference for you does not extend unreasonably to The Godfather.
I've seen bits and pieces, but I haven't seen the whole thing.
It's like saying, have you ever had ice? What kind of ice cream you like? Say, oh, I've had a taste of ice cream once. It wasn't really my thing.
Never tried vanilla or chocolate.
Right, I had vanilla. I had a bite of vanilla once. It was fine. I don't really like ice cream. Dude, I'm just telling you right now, The Godfather is an American classic.
I know it's an American classic. That's my dad's favorite movie. And I've sat down like time to time, but it's a long movie, man. It's like a 3-hour movie, I believe.
I mean, dude, like, you can't spend 3 hours watching a movie?
No.
All right. Well, that's fair. It's honest. I'm honestly a little speechless. But anyway, Ray Liotta, incredible actor, what a performer, passed away. Absolutely, absolutely American legend. And passed away yesterday, and may he rest in peace. So when you get on the verge of an NBA Finals, and just to make it to a conference finals is an incredible accomplishment. It's an accomplishment that doesn't really do much for job security. It's not going to be a balm against the disappointment, right? This is the old close only works in a couple things, including hand grenades, horseshoes, and talking on the radio. I almost got those words out. It's fine. It's not like I talk for a living. But it is an amazing thing to get to this point. But the Celtics run in particular, and what feels like a run that's going to, at a minimum, get them to an NBA Finals, and I'm not going to write them off against the Warriors, even though I did 30 minutes ago and said it's over. I think the Warriors beat the Celtics 7 out of 10 times in the NBA Finals. And I think they beat the Heat 8.5 out of 10. But Boston's defense is incredible. Their ability to switch, their ability to basically have every man, more or less, a place on the floor, D up against every other person that they're up against, and so their ability to switch doesn't come at a detriment. The fact that they have, over the course of this postseason, turned Kevin Durant back into a pumpkin. I mean, look, I think Kevin Durant's great. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to turn this into Kevin Durant slander and hate. He's amazing. But the Boston Celtics went into that series where most people, and these people were wrong, and if you listen to Righter Than You, you know in this case we were righter than a lot of other folks. Most people thought the Nets were going to beat Boston or at least give them a hell of a run for their money. Like, oh, man, there's Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. They're so good. And not only was that not the case, the Celtics made Kevin Durant look pedestrian. They made him look basic. That wasn't an anomaly. It turned out it wasn't Kevin Durant having an off series. It was what the Celtics did to him and Kyrie Irving to a lesser extent. But they utterly and totally neutralized their offensive impact. Then they go into that Bucks series, the Celtics. And look, that series went longer. It was competitive. And I know that Giannis had a bunch of games in the 30 and 40-point range. I get it. I bet on a bunch of those overs. And I thank Giannis for his excellence and his contributions to me trying to, like, I'm actually up pretty significantly, to fund my gambling account that my wife doesn't know about in its entirety unless she's listening now, which she tends to. And so now that money's spent. Thank you, Giannis. But, and I think I brought this stat up the other day. I think it's significant. One of the things about Giannis' excellence, and this gets into individuality leading and extending to making his team great, which isn't always the case. I talk about it as it relates to Steph, but part of Giannis' individual excellence is his remarkable ability to get to the rim and to being so efficient in his offense, 55, 56% from the field over the course of the regular season, when obviously as a guy that's won a bunch of MVPs and is an amazing star, it's not like guys aren't paying attention to him. And it's not like, say, Shaq, and no disrespect to Shaq, he's getting the ball 3 feet from the basket. He is the primary ball handler on the offensive sets where he is the focal point of the offense, which is almost all the time. His usage rate is also high, which means when he's that efficient and you're an opposing team, it's not the same thing as Steph, but it's similar. You have to double him. You have to pay attention to him, and it creates open looks for all the guys, and the whole offense operates and is predicated on what Giannis does. That efficiency went from 56% in the regular season to 45% against the Milwaukee or against the Boston Celtics. It's not terrible. It's not the end of the world. But it's such a drop-off, and if you watch the games and you talk to scouts like I do and you slip them some drinks and you get them to be a little more candid, part of what Boston did is they understood, you know, against the Nets, they just neutralized Kevin Durant. Against the Bucks, they knew they weren't going to be able to do that against Giannis, but they could make it a lot harder. They could make him a lot less efficient, and they could require him to take more shots per point, which means that his guys around him weren't going to get into the flow as much. Giannis becomes less efficient. It gets harder for him. Then the offense doesn't work the way it's supposed to either. So they were really good against Giannis. And then against the Heat, maybe Jimmy Butler's hurt, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They have turned a Miami Heat team that was a top 10 offensively rated team. Now, this thing nobody talks about. Oh, they don't have enough offense. They did in the regular season. The Heat are one of only three teams that made the second round or better who were top 10 in offensive rating and defensive rating. The Suns, the Celtics, the Heat. They were top 10 in both. And the Boston Celtics have made pedestrians, not even the right word, incompetent, embarrassing, not worthy of an NBA offense. It's just true. Max Strus hasn't made a shot in two games. He starts with the Heat. Jimmy Butler put up 6 points a couple games ago, and he barely was better than that in the last game. So the Celtics, I think, not only can close out Miami tonight because that defense is legit, it does give them a fighting chance against the Warriors when we get to a finals. But it's a secret ingredient. It's a secret recipe that I think people aren't talking about. I don't know if, Kevin, are you a soccer fan? You into soccer? You're 0 for 11. It's fine. It's fine.
That's all I had to give you.
Champions League finals tomorrow, Liverpool, Real Madrid. Liverpool's the betting favorite. They're the better team. They should win. They're probably not going to. I hate Real Madrid because I'm a Barcelona fan. Real Madrid's probably going to win because they have had so many improbable comebacks. They now just believe it. You don't want to dig yourself into a hole again and again and again and again, or a giant hole, because it's hard to get out of. But if you do, that momentum, it's not even momentum, that level of confidence, especially when it's paired with an actual great coach like Ime Udoka, where you're going to buy into what he sells, and what he's selling is real, it becomes its own secret weapon. The Celtics were under 500 in late January. They weren't even in the playoff picture as it relates to being in a seven-game series. They got all the way down to 10 for long stretches. We wrote them off. I wrote them off. Boston wrote them off. The NBA wrote them off. Trust me, the Miami Heat, the little they thought about them back then, wrote them off. And that turnaround, that Celtics team, remember, Ime Udoka, brand new head coach, right, rookie head coach, Brad Stevens, brand new to the front office, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown having to figure out as a duo whether they could work together. We've seen duos not be able to do it. See Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum in Portland before McCollum got traded to New Orleans. What an amazing turnaround. Best defense in the NBA over the stretch of that time. Jason Tatum has gone from being a promising superstar, maybe like a sort of rising superstar, to a guy that is going to be an MVP candidate in the years ahead and a top five player candidate in the years ahead. But it's the belief in what they can do. It's the domination since January. It's going from 10th in a really crowded Eastern Conference to second that has laid the groundwork for every step of the way. When everybody was trying to maneuver at the end of the regular season in the Eastern Conference to avoid Brooklyn, all right, should we play? Are we going to let's lose this game? Oh, we're going to sit our guys. Ime Udoka and the Celtics said, we don't care. We're not going to do that. We're going to play to be great. That's the way. That is 100% the way that it's going to be. And all of us, many of us, rolled our eyes. But it turns out it wasn't just a philosophy they have, principle, success be damned. That's not what happened. It wasn't lip service to the idea and hoping they'd miss the Nets. They'd already gone through month after month after month after month after month of having to win at a 70% clip to get where they wanted to go. They weren't afraid of anybody. They believed, they actually thought, instead of saying it, which is different, they're the best team in the NBA. And they got in to that series in Brooklyn, and they swept those guys. Then they went against the defending champions, and they beat them. And it was a bloody contest. The Bucks are a great basketball team. But they got the best of those guys, and they got the best of Giannis Antetokounmpo. They roll into a series against Miami, top seed. These guys made a finals a couple years ago in the bubble. Jimmy Butler, for me, transforms from top 25 player-ish in the regular season to a top 10 player in the postseason. And they haven't just found a way to counterpunch after losses. They have the last two games humiliated the Heat with their defense, with Boston's defensive excellence. Boston's secret weapon is the turnaround. It's whatever they unlocked in that team in January. It is the belief that has been executed over the course of a huge sample size, basically half a season, that they're the best team in the NBA. I think they're putting the Heat out of their misery today. And I don't think they're going to beat the Warriors, but I think they can. Kevin, you do watch sports, right? You love sports?
I do watch sports, yes. I am paying attention to the NBA playoffs.
Just checking. Once you went no Godfather, everything I know about you I questioned.
Uh-oh.
You know? Yeah. I'll say this, though. When you said you didn't believe in UFOs, I thought maybe you're right. Now that I've heard that you don't watch The Godfather...
Now you think there's UFOs.
Yeah, there's definitely... Now I know there are. Totally. I mean, Stuart Kovacs could definitely be an alien. Are you with me, or do you want to make a case for the Miami Heat?
No, I'm with you. And you know, we've talked about earlier before the show that this is kind of a boring series, but the turnaround that the Boston Celtics have had in the second half of the season is remarkable. It's something that we don't see every year or even every 5 years or 10 years. And, you know, who would have thought Brad Stevens, you know, taking a step aside, going to the front office, it was the change that the Celtics needed. And we see Jason Tatum come to the superstar. And they're just a better team at the end of the day compared to Miami. And I'm not riding Miami off. It's going to be a tough game six going to Boston. And, we'll see what happens tonight. But I believe the Celtics take care of business. And when you're riding hot, that's the team that you want to be.
Here's the excuse time. I'm not really sure where I come down on this. Do you think Jimmy Butler's seriously hurt? Everybody's banged up. Do you think he's hobbled?
I do think he's banged up. I do. Because he has been a superstar for the Miami Heat this entire season. He's the reason why the Heat are in the Eastern Conference Finals right now.
He's so good, man.
And when it's clutch time and you're trying to get to that NBA championship, yeah, you got to be 100%. You got to be all in. Something's definitely up with him right now, and we'll see what happens down the road.
It's a bummer. Kind of like finding out that your 26-year-old film producer's never seen The Godfather because it's 3 hours long. 3 hours long. I'm going to send it to you for Christmas. Merry Christmas. Early present. All right, I'm going to ask Kurt Heelan if he thinks the UFOs are real, if he thinks Steph Curry's better than LeBron, and whether Kevin should watch The Godfather. And we'll also talk about the NBA Finals and Conference Finals next year on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.